Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have singer-songwriter Corrine May. We'll see her perform and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Corrine May. She is a musician, singer, songwriter, and tonight, she's going to tell us about her music and share a little bit about her faith.
She's also going to share with us her new experiences with sacred music. And we're now going to a performance with Corrine May.
But he saw the twinkling eyes of Jesus, the kindness in his smile, and the boy cried out with the trust of a child. He said, "Take my five loaves and two fishes, do a thing, yes, you will. I surrender."
Too small.
Corrine.
Hi.
Welcome to Live on the Rock.
Thank you so much for the
chance. You're a musician, singer, songwriter. You're living out in Singapore, so you've come a long way to the United States, to Alabama, to be on the show, but you're doing some other travels as well in the meantime. But you've had a good music career,
I'd say,
in the last probably 20 years or more. And but I wanted to talk to you about how you got into music. How did you discover your maybe talents with music?
So I think it started way back when I was probably maybe 4 or 5. My dad was playing the organ and he was playing some wrong notes on the pedals. And I knew they were wrong, but he didn't. So I was moving his foot around to the right pedal. And I thought to myself, why do I know that? You know, and also with like a children's choir that I joined back when I was about 7 or 8, and everybody was singing unison on the melody, but I was making up my little harmonies going on, and I thought, I'm the only one doing this around here. Maybe this is something special, you know? So it sort of like led to me composing more of my own music. And then my mom was telling me when I was 16 months, it's like I cried, and when she was singing some lullaby, I think she was going and for some reason I started crying. And I remember that moment because to me that melody sounded so sad, but for her she was trying to comfort her kid and, you know, send her kid off to sleep, but I remember that moment, and music sort of like struck me really deeply since that moment, I think.
So it was early on.
Pretty early on, yeah.
So what instruments do you play, but what did you start playing early on?
I started with the piano when I was about 5 and a half. Okay. So, you know, all those scales and classical music stuff. Didn't really enjoy it because, you know, it had a lot of structure to it that a little kid doesn't really want to do.
Right.
But now I realize that all that discipline was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Because it helped my fingers to be, you know, flexible. It gave the fingers strength so that now whenever I play something, I can articulate whatever I really hear.
Well, I think, for musicians, I play a little and... but I never took formal lessons, but I always wish I had.
Oh, nice.
Just to have that, you know, maybe theory, the kind of knowing it. It's like I know guitar, but I don't like know guitar like, you know, somebody would.
Yeah. And,
but it's a real joy to play. I love music, everything
great.
About it. And, you know, just the creativity
it
that
is,
comes with it.
Yeah, it's good to sort of get a little sense of the theory behind it as well. I used to not like the theory. But I went to school in Boston, so that was when I first started living in the States. Back in 96, I went to Boston to study at the Berklee College of Music. And just to get the nuances of how to craft a song, you know, to go into the nitty gritty of it, it's like woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really have to just shape it.
Yeah.
And to have the tools to be able to do that, I think that was the very helpful part, to know that I could shape it in the way that I really wanted to, just by knowing that skill and the theory behind what it took to get a certain feel or a certain mood to the song.
And how do you describe your music, maybe in general?
In general, I'd say happy, optimistic.
Okay.
Not so popular these days. I think what's on the radio these days, I'm not so sure about what's happening up there. But I do a lot of storytelling. I do a lot of... I look for the good. I look for the good in any situation. I'm a quiet observer. I like to go to a coffee house and just figure out, what's that person's story? You know, maybe walk down the street and try to figure out if there's some hidden mystery that I can bring forth and bring to the surface and sing about.
Well, who are some of the musicians or maybe songwriters that have inspired you over the years?
One was definitely, I listened to the Carpenters growing up, so a lot of that. James Taylor, Carole King, David Foster, a lot of the pop stuff growing up in the 80s. But recently I really enjoyed Bach, you know, like his, just all those, he's so smart. He's just such a smart composer. And the 12-year-old me would have sort of said, you're like Bach, what? Because I remember having to play his fugues and preludes and really not enjoying it because there was a lot of intricacy to all the notes that I had to get right. But now looking at it and realizing there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that music, like a lot of, you know, counterpoint, a lot of like voices just following. That guy was that is really smart writing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is, there is something interesting about how I think, sophisticated music was back then.
Yeah.
Of these composers.
Yes, yes.
You know, kind of compared to today and everything. And,
right.
But there is definitely a real richness and beauty to it and the harmony. But also, how has your Catholic faith inspired you in your songwriting and performances?
Oh, it's inspired a lot of what I've written about. And actually, when I first started off with my first album, there were a couple of songs in there that were inspired by my faith, but I was too shy to talk about God in that way. So I kind of clothed my love for Him in contemporary language and contemporary love story. And then I found that as I went along with each subsequent album, it felt like He was pushing me to talk more about Him, to reveal Him a little bit more in my music. So it got to a point in, I think it was probably my fourth album or so. It was an album called Beautiful Seed in 2007. And I think what preceded that helped me to bring forth my Catholic faith a little bit more. And what preceded that was watching Pope St. John Paul II's, the whole world was waiting for him through his passage into eternal life. CNN had this view, of his apartment. There was a little light on. The whole world was just praying along with him. And I remember looking over my hubby and seeing him like tearing. I said, he wasn't Catholic at the point in time. I said, "You're crying?" He says, "Yeah, he's the only Pope I've ever known." I'm like, "Wow, Pope, he made a big impact." And after that, after John Paul passed, I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what's up with that tortoise tuus thing that he keeps on talking about, So I went to buy a book. I think it was Crossing the Threshold of Hope, if I recall correctly. And in that, Pope St. John Paul mentioned how it was through St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion to Mary that he first understood that Marian devotion is Christocentric. And I thought, I need to read this book. Yeah. I need to find out more about this. So I went to read St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary, and I made my consecration to Mary. And I think it was through her help that I got a bit more bold about proclaiming the faith through my music. So there was a song called Five Loaves and Two Fishes that I wrote right after that consecration, somewhere in between. And I remember playing it out at Borders Books and Music when Borders was still around. And people really took to that, and I thought maybe that might be really cool, just to share that. And then I played it for my husband, and he said, "Nah, don't put that song on the album. People will run away from you or something like that. For you to sort of like talk about your Christian faith, because it really was a song about the gospel, that little boy, and St. John's Gospel, and it was just kind of like trying to figure out how he felt at that moment with that multiplication of loaves and fishes." So, but something we told myself I had to put that song out. And from that point till now, I still get people talking about that song to me and telling me stories about how that song moved them. Out of which one I really remember is of a priest writing to me to tell me that he administered to this 18-year-old lady who was dying of cancer. And she had listened to the song, and she had been inspired to offer up her sufferings and her dying out of love for our Lord through that song. And I thought that was so beautiful.
Wow. That
the Lord moved her heart through this little offering of song that I gave Him. Yeah.
Well, beautiful. Well, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, I'd like to talk to you about sacred music.
Okay. Yeah.
Corrine, you've done a lot with music, and it sounds like you've found a way to kind of channel evangelization into your music to reach, a number of listeners. But I wanted to ask you, too, since you've been in music for a good number of years, how many albums have you released?
I've released about five.
Five?
Yeah,
okay.
Going on to six. I'm hoping to make the next one soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now you're also exploring more sacred music within the liturgy. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so not too long ago, I I think it was back in 2017, I had the inclination to find out more about our Holy Mass and, you know, to see the Mass mm-hmm. as it was for St. Therese, for St. Maximilian Kolbe, like what it was, you know, before that, before Vatican II changed things a little bit. So I went for my first Latin Mass. I went to a neighborhood church. It was really a mystery. Mm-hmm. The first time I went to that, I was like, what's going on? Right, you know, it was a low Mass. Everybody was really quiet. They knew when to sit and stand, but I wasn't sure what to do. So I thought, you know, that's interesting, but I wanted mm-hmm. to find out more about the music that went along with the High Mass, because I had read so much about it, I wanted to experience it for myself. So I found this little parish in West Hollywood, of all places, and it was called St. Victor's. Mm. And I went there for Mass, and the music, just the sacred silence, the way that the liturgy, it definitely pulled my heart in there. It moved me so much. I just wanted to be part of the choir. I wanted to find out more about mm-hmm. what it was that moved me about this liturgy. So I joined a choir. I ran upstairs after Mass, and I said, you know, I said to this music director, who his name is Mr. Jeff Ostrowski, and he, you know, he happens to have founded this lovely website called Corpus Christi Watershed, from which I've learned so much of liturgical music there. So I went up there and I said, can I join your choir? And he said, oh, okay. So I joined a choir, and then I brought my daughter along with me, and you know, she, it was it's just beautiful learning about all this polyphony, learning about Gregorian chant. There's something, it's beautiful. I think, you know, the way it is, it spoke to me because, you know, for 12 years I had been a church pianist at a Novus Ordo parish, and you know, playing the piano and you know, doing these songs that were a bit more folksy and pop. Mm-hmm. I think I started to realize that we were sort of like bringing God down to a level where we forgot about that awesome mystery of God. Right. We forgot about how, you know, this wonder, this awe, mm-hmm. And so to rediscover that in this music and this sacred silence of the extraordinary form, it opened my eyes to just how liturgy and sacred music could be used in the praise of God and to bring hearts closer to Him.
And like prayer, I think music, it elevates the soul.
Yes.
You know, whenever we sing Him.
Yeah.
You know, the church has produced some amazing, you know, hymns.
Absolutely.
That are very rich in theology.
Yes. So growing up, I didn't realize that we had mm-hmm. such a rich treasury of faith in terms of the sacred music. I mean, we've got stuff from Palestrina, we've got stuff from, you know, Morales. We've got St. Thomas Aquinas wrote so many Eucharistic hymns. And these were treasures that I never knew growing up. You know, all I knew were kind of like, I suppose in my mind, it was more like a preschool type of music that I grew up with. And I feel like I'm being led to understand more of the richness mm-hmm. behind music that truly speaks about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. You know, really talks about the mysteries, like we did one chant recently at in my choir, Laudation Salvatorem. And it's the sequence for Corpus Christi, and it talks about how, you know, even in one grain of the Eucharist, it's like it's the whole, it's our Lord, mm-hmm. whole and entire. You know, all these mysteries, like it's a beautiful form of catechesis through music.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And through beautiful words.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you as a musician. How did COVID during that time, just when things were just kind of upside down,
how did
that maybe affect your ministry and the work you did? Was it challenging, or did it give you more time to kind of develop more content?
It was challenging in terms of not being able to be with a congregation at mm-hmm. Mass. Like everybody was kind of, you know, separated from the actual Mass. We were in this little studio back in, well, I was in Singapore and I was helping to record for the cathedral choir. I think it was just that separation from each other, separation from the mystery of the Mass. Like we were in a separate room, you know, Mass was going on in another room. So that division was hard to deal with, I think. But at the same time, I think that the absence of being in the presence of our Lord, and you know, it was so difficult to get to Mass, all the churches were closed, it made me yearn more for the Holy Eucharist. It made me yearn more to be in His presence. So in that way, it was almost like a drawing out of that love that was latent. And I remember that when all the churches were closed, I remember the cathedral being the only place where they would have Our Lord on the altar, and they had Eucharistic adoration through a TV camera being, you know, like an online Eucharistic adoration 24/7. And I would take my bicycle and sort of cycle down the road, since nobody was using the roads, it was nice and empty during COVID. And I would just cycle down to the cathedral and just peer through the cathedral window so that I could just see Our Lord there. Mm. The hunger was there,
yeah.
You know. So it was good in that sense that it drew us out to really appreciate what we perhaps hadn't appreciated as much before.
Mm-hmm. And built a hunger.
Yeah.
And but where can, you know, our viewers find more about your work in ministry?
Oh, okay, I've got a website. It's corinnemay.com. So that's corinnemay.com. And that's mostly for my the albums that I've done.
Okay.
But I'm also blogging at a beautiful website, which I'd mentioned before, Corpus Christi Watershed. So that's ccwatershed.org. And it's a beautiful site where I've shared a little bit about my love for liturgical music and you know, what I've discovered. And they're also very, very good contributors that talk about this beautiful music that we're part of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Corinne, thank you for
Thanks
being
so
on
much,
Life
Brother
on
John.
The Rock, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Brother John, I was struck by her knowledge of music and great discussion. And I guess that's something that struck me, just the importance of the formal training in the art form, how that can bless the creativity, the spontaneousness of it all, that she's done her homework.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's I think, a blessing when you have that early formation. And I think there's a lot of parallels, too, with the faith that, you know, whenever we do receive, I think just a good formation, you know, just where that can lead us in life. And Corinne, she's been in the music business for a long time. She's produced 5 albums. She's got a 6th one on the way. And she's doing something with her gift, you know, a gift that God gave her that, you know, she wants to share with the world. And again, she's using that to really evangelize, to bring beauty into the world, to bring a sense of truth. And, you know, because there's a lot of just noises out there. And people are hungry for that, you know, and we see that all around. And, you know, even during the time of COVID, you know, she expressed, you know, her hunger for the Lord, who's the ultimate truth, the ultimate goodness and beauty. But, you know, music's led her to kind of appreciate more of that.
Yeah, just her description, her own experience of going to a traditional mass and struck by the beauty of the music. I know it's very much on Mother Angelica's heart to present the beauty of the liturgy through EWTN.
Yeah.
We put a lot of emphasis on music here as well. But I know she was talking about when you do attend a traditional mass, it's like, you know, the transcendent really shines forth, that, you know, this great work of the Mass, the sacrifice is being offered, that all comes through very clearly and strongly. But yeah, the importance of, I think, the sacredness of the music, the beauty of it, you know, in helping us to pray, to help to express that transcendent nature of God that we so easily lose sight of today.
Yeah. And I think she brought a good insight into even the importance of silence. You know, and as a musician, you know, your business is in the sound of noise, you know, and everything. But again, just having that silence too, just to have that time set aside for God, you know, and to allow God, you know, to refresh you, to refresh the soul, you know, in order to sing better. You know, that's kind of a beautiful insight, just to have those minutes with our Lord in the Eucharist.
Yeah, she makes me want to go listen to some Bach music just to hear her talk about. We'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He lift your mind and your heart up to Him, that you may worship and praise Him. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.